This morning is from Revelation 7, chapters 2 through 17. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads." And I heard the numbers of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were seated. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and the peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them from his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nations in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence is clear and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Our epistle reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I think there's an alleluia verse. Yeah, there is. Phyllis is talking. Yeah. The alleluia verse.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I know.
I know. Yeah, poor Michael. We're waiting on you, Phyllis. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those of you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you and falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Is the kingdom of God. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One announcement that I forgot to make. We have something going on every Sunday, it seemed like. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday for Brooke Rippey, and they're going to have a lunch. Isn't that what he told us? And you can bring something or you can just show up. They'll have plenty of food. So it's not a true potluck, but if you want to throw a little luck in there, that's fine. So anyway, or a pot. Pot? Never mind. See, we get so serious, don't we, as Christians sometimes? And I think Christianity is about joy. But we get serious about money and about buildings and about budgets and about, you know, who does what and when and who gets to be in charge and who's not. And of course, there are things that we are to be serious about in the church, things that should be taken seriously. But Christianity is a religion of joy. The gospel lesson for today reminds us of just that. Another translation for blessed from the Greek in the Beatitudes is happy. We're to be happy. The oldest one, 1999, it's the first time I used this poem. I was looking in a little file I keep that's got jokes in it. I was wanting a joke, you know? I wasn't as funny then as I am now. Had used someone else's humor. And I found this prayer, and I've used it every year on All Saints Sunday. Father and God of fools, Lord of clowns, and smiling faces. We rejoice that you are a God of laughter and tears. Blessed are you, for you have rooted within us the gift of humor, lightheartedness, and mirth. With jokes and comedy, you cause our hearts to sing as laughter rolls out from us. We are grateful that your Son, Jesus, the master of wit, daily invites us to be fools for your sake, to embrace the madness of your prophets, holy people, and saints. We delight in that holy madness, which becomes medicine to heal the chaos of the cosmos, since it calls each of us from the humdrumness of our daily life into joy, adventure, and most of all, into freedom. We who so easily barter our freedom for illusions of honor and power are filled with gratitude that your Son, by his life, has reminded us to seek only love, the communion with each other and with you, and to balance honor with humor. With circus bands and organ grinders, with fools, clowns, court jesters, and comedians, with high-spirited angels and saints, we too join in the funness and foolishness of life so that your holy laughter may ring out to the edges of the universe. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who invites us to be holy fools. Amen. Not the end of the sermon, but end of the prayer. It may not be a joke, but I think it describes well the depth to which God wanted his people to live in joy. He created us for an abundant life that he offers to all of us. And not any old joy will do for God's people. No shallow humor. No cheap jokes just to spice up life. God intends for us to feel joy at the very depth of our being. No giggles. He wants belly laughs out of us. That is the blessedness described in the Beatitudes. The world finds happiness in wealth, power, and satisfaction. Jesus said real happiness is found in just the opposite. Now, maybe Jesus was trying to trick us. Jesus just wants us to think we are happy. You know, kind of a mind game. Tell people what you want to hear, what they want to hear, and maybe eventually they'll believe it. You think you're poor? Oh, you're not poor. You think you're sad? You're happy. You think you are powerless? You really have all the power if you just believe it. Now, that's one message. Or maybe Jesus is just teaching us the joys of delayed gratification. You may have it bad now. You may be poor now. You may be sad. You may be hungry. But you will get your reward in heaven. And that is exactly what it seems to say. Your reward is great in heaven. But the message of the Beatitudes is more than joy that awaits us in heaven. And Christian joy is no mind game or trick. Christian joy has depth and meaning. Christian joy cannot be eroded by anything this world might throw at us. We are blessed. We are happy now, in this place, in this time. And that's the opposite of the message that we hear from the world. It seems that most people look to the world to give them joy. We've even written it in our Bill of Rights. We have the right to pursue what? Happiness. Really? And we are not happy. And when we are not happy, what do? We blame somebody. We blame our parents. We blame society. We blame God. We blame our bosses. We blame the church. Jesus' message is so different than what we hear from the world. Joy does not come from the world or from wealth or from power. Joy comes from our shared human experiences. And that's a difficult concept to understand. Poverty, meekness, and hunger don't seem to be very joy-producing on their own. And yet, I think each of us in our own human experience know that some of the best moments in our life, the most meaningful moments in our life, have come either in the midst of sorrow and pain or after. I know that when you're in the midst of it, that's not even remotely joyful. And I'm not really suggesting that bad things are good. I am suggesting that sometimes good comes out of bad. That out of our times of poverty, back when we were in seminary and we had a kid that we really thought was going to come in June. We didn't do math very well. We ate macaroni and cheese. Not the good stuff, you know. Not the stuff you squirt the Velveeta cheese out of. This is the 25-cent box Velveeta with cheap oleo in it. yet it is out of that time that you appreciate what you have now. That out of our grief, we discover all the joy that our loved ones have brought to us. And we miss them, but we are thankful for the remembrances of those joyful times. That out of our hunger, we feel the joy of satisfaction in going downstairs to eat a potluck dinner. This is not something Jesus commands us to do. This is a way of life with Jesus. Jesus lived this way and gave an example. He was not a wealthy man. Never was, never had any place even to lay his head. Lived on the nice people that would take him in for the night, the people that would feed him. And Jesus' life did not end well. He died on a cross, filled with pain, both physical and spiritual pain. Jesus' life would not meet our culture's definition of happiness, blessedness, or joyfulness. Yet the Gospels do not portray a Jesus who is sad or miserable all the time. This is a guy that played with children, that went and talked to the people that no one would even approach, that sat down with prostitutes for a meal. I truly believe that Jesus wants our lives to be as joy-filled as his was. He paid the full penalty for our sins so that we could enjoy this life now. And so that we could be happy now. So out of that joy, consider what God's calling you to do and your gifts for next year. Remember that God, we're told, loves a cheerful giver. And with circus bands and organ grinders, with fools, clowns, court jesters, and comedians, with high-spirited angels, I love that line. Just imagine this, angels and saints up there dancing. We too join in the fun and foolishness of life, so that your holy laughter may ring out to the edges of the universe. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who invites us to be holy fools. Amen. Now may the peace of God that comes from this Lord Jesus Christ that gives us our joy keep you in your hearts and minds from now until life everlasting.